I have always been drawn to stories that blend history, folklore, and a touch of mystery. And the Queen of Connemara delivers all that and more. This documentary, led by historian E. Philip Brown, explores the life of Bynah McLoughlin, a mesmerizing storyteller, singer, and local legend in County Galway, Ireland. Known for her vibrant personality and intriguing reputation, she was both loved and whispered about by her community. I watched the documentary and I genuinely loved it. It's a captivating mix of history, culture, and Irish charm. You can watch The Queen of Connemara now on Tubi TV. Find the link in the description. Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have yet another guest. Her name is Devon and I will not introduce her. She will introduce herself. Hi Devon, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you, Ganesh?
I'm doing awesome. So yeah, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. I am an evidential psychic medium and a quantum healer. So I help people to overcome trauma on energetic and spiritual levels, as well as overcome their limiting beliefs so that they can step into their power and learn to trust their intuition. I also have a passion in my personal life for gardening, permaculture, and just generally making the world a better place. Cleaner, fresher, purer.
And Devon, where are you based out of?
What was that?
Where are you based out of? Like, where do you live?
Oh, I live in Austin, Texas currently, but I grew up in New York.
Okay. That's like two different coasts, right?
Yeah. I grew up on the farm and that.
How big was the culture shock?
Pardon me? What did
you... How big was the culture shock, like when you moved to Texas?
You know, I was pretty naive. I've moved around the country a little bit before kind of settling here in Austin, Texas. And the culture shock was expected this time. The first time I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, I lived in California for 13 years. And I thought, it's the same country. How different can it be? And I was so shocked. It's like a completely different country and culture over there.
Yeah.
But I loved it. How about you? Where are you?
Yeah. This is like something that's, I don't think it's... Sorry?
I said, how about you? Where are you from?
I'm from a city called as Bangalore, India. So it's like the Silicon Valley of India, you know, where mostly tech people live. It's a very concrete, typical city. It has around, the last time I checked, we had around, I think, 13 million people.
Wow.
12 or 13 million people in the city. Yeah, so... I am like totally dead opposite to a lot of people, right? Because, you know, I live in a concrete jungle. and my city is like a 10-minute city.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's totally different and drastic. And in some ways, we are somewhat more developed than Americans here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that people underestimate, like, about my country, right? People think, you know, we are still underdeveloped or developing, you know. But in majority of things, we are far more, like, technologically sophisticated, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we have UPI. UPI is like a QR code payment. It's like cash app for your reference, right? But it's directly from your bank. Like, you don't have to do wire transfers, you know? Yeah. And if you can, you could order anything and it could, you could get it delivered within like 7 minutes.
Oh,
anything. Yeah. Like anything that your heart wishes. Yeah. So we are somewhat different. Anyways, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what you do, right? So you said a lot of complicated words in the starting. Yeah. So can you simplify it? Like, can you boil it down to basics where people are able to understand what do you do exactly?
Definitely. So an evidential psychic medium is somebody that, so I read the energies of people and who are on this side of life in the 3D world who are alive. And I can also communicate with spirits. Where the term evidential comes in is, instead of saying something like, oh, I have your great aunt here, she says she likes your haircut, I would bring forward more evidence so that you would know that it's your aunt. And it would be, like irrefutable, instead of just kind of having like a popcorn party favor type reading. It's so that way, you know, if you walk away, or when you walk away from the reading, you know, like, yes, I got that message from my aunt, my grandmother, whoever came versus just getting a message and being like, well, that could have been from anyone. She could have been like pulling that out of her hat or whatever it is. So it's more of, it's a UK style of mediumship because they have a lot of regulations and have training requirements to become instructors in the UK. Versus in the States, anybody can just, you know, wake up in the morning and say, I'm a medium, and then start practicing. And then,
you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think that has happened in the history, right? Where somebody just woke up and said, yeah, I can talk to spirits.
Yeah, I've been encountering that a lot in the last 5 to 7 years when, as people are becoming more and more spiritual. They're like, I'm a medium. And I say, oh, who have you studied with? Where did you study? And they're like, no, I'm just a natural medium. And I said, well, honey, we all are. Every single person has the ability to
be
a psychic or medium.
Okay, I have a weird question, I would say. How does language work? Because just to give more clarity, right, like, you know, if you're talking to somebody who's like, let's say 50 or 60 years into the history, right? To put it lightly, or they might have come from a different region, or, you know, let's say their vocabulary would be different than yours, right? So how do you think like language works? Because I see in a lot of these documentaries of paranormal activity where even in India, you know, like they're using our one main language to speak to regional spirits. I'm like, dude, that freaking soul or ghost is a, you know, like a Tamilian. He doesn't know English or Hindi. But they seem to communicate. And how does that work, actually?
So all mediumistic communication happens telepathically. And so it's more energy communication. And when you cross over into the spirit world, you gain this vast amount of knowledge and can communicate with anybody in any language. So if I pass over and for some reason my relatives are getting a reading from somebody in another country who speaks a completely different language, I would still be able to communicate through because it's all done telepathically. So it's an energy exchange versus, you know, I don't have, I mean, you can have what's called clairaudience where you get words that are put into your head from the spirit or the spirit world. And that's always in a language that you'll understand. But there have been readings where I have gotten words in different languages or sounds of words in different languages. So it can come through in both of those ways. But mostly since it's telepathic, all the information through in the way that the medium is going to understand to convey it.
Got it. So it sounds like something that's complicated, maybe not something that my chimp or a brain can handle. I'm very interested in this particular industry or, you know, this niche or, you know, field because, you know, I have, it's just like any other human, right? Like we are interested in something that's greater than us, right? And this ultimate spiritual question of, you know, is there an afterworld, right? Like That's what literally all religions talk about.
Yeah.
Like literally every religion on the planet, right, talks about that. Fuck it, even cults talk about that,
mm-hmm.
right? What's your view on it? Like, what's your take or perspective on it after, you know, you have been working, you know, in a very different profession, let's say?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't say for certain. I can only say what I've experienced and the spirit world has allowed me to see. And that being said, the spirit world always communicates with each person in a way that they would understand. So if I, you know, I come from a Catholic background, that's the main religion in my family. So somebody who comes from different religions have different beliefs and the spirit world might communicate with them in different ways. So that being said, what I know that I've experienced and seen is it's all love. When we cross over, no matter who you were in this life, no matter how you passed over or what happened to you, you're met with love, with a spirit team. So we have a group of spirits that we continue to reincarnate with that, you know, in this life, my parents are my parents, but in past lives, maybe we were siblings, maybe we were friends, maybe we were, maybe I was the parent and they were the child. So we go through different role exchanges with our spirit family. And basically what I've seen is it's kind of like what you would imagine outer space to be, just this black void. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because it's filled with the most pure unconditional love. That is the absolute most comforting feeling I've ever experienced. And you're just surrounded by people you love in the energy of love, because that's what I've been taught, that God, the universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, whatever word fits in your vernacular, is essentially unconditional love. That is like the root of it that everybody is connecting up to. If you're working with the light, that's the energy you're working with. And so that is the energy we return to, and that is the energy we're born from.
Okay. The reason I asked you is because I'm a Hindu, right? So in my religion, you know, it is taught, or, you know, it is believed that you reincarnate as other species, right? Like different animals, birds, insects. And you have to go through all the species. Like there is a particular cycle that's prescribed in my religion. And you have to go through the whole cycle to become a human again. So it's like, you know, like, you have to go through every yoni, or yoni is like body, let's say, right? Like the vessel for the soul. And there is a prescribed 60, like a cycle that you have to complete to become a human. And they say that, you know, the reason you become human is to get rid of this circle of life, right? So you break this loop. So I understand, you know, like, everybody believes in something different and, you know, something weird, right? Because that's what it is, right? Because you cannot prove it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I agree with the Hindu philosophy. I think that we can and do reincarnate as different species.
Yeah. Because I see a lot of, you know, spiritual readers, right? Like they read into somebody's past life and they're like, okay, you know, in the past life you are, I'm not talking about the, you know, the tarot card reader next to the stripper mall. I'm talking about, you know, people who are a little bit more established and proven. And, you know, they always say, you know, like you were something else in the past life, right? You're not necessarily human. So have you ever had that experience, you know, where you felt, okay, the person might not have been human, or, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, I just had an interesting reading for somebody the other day where they were a praying mantis. So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you get what you give when you're doing the spiritual reading. So I was like, this is a thing. And thankfully we had worked together before and, you know, we have a rapport, and it wasn't a first time client that I was like, yeah, so do you have any relationship with bugs? Yeah. but I mean, yeah, I fully believe that philosophy. I mean, my personal belief is like cats and dogs, I think, are a little bit more evolved when it comes to like their heart chakra. I think they live in that space a lot better than people do.
Yes.
So, I mean, I always hope that in my next life I come back as a house pet, but we'll see. Or a tree. I think that would be good.
Yeah. Have you heard of this concept where a lot of biologists believe that, you know, that the process of domestication of animals was initiated by animals, not humans?
Oh, interesting. I haven't.
Yeah. So they were like, okay, let me, because, you know, like this particular species is revered because if you look at how humans hunt or hunted, right, in the previous era, like people would be horrified and people are not ready for it, right? Because we do not have, you know, to be honest, we do not have, you know, bigger nails or teeth or, you know, height advantage or speed or anything. Like if this world was a game, like human would have the most average statistics ever. Right. But somehow we have survived this, and, you know, biologists believe that animals initiated this process of domestication because they found out that humans were not that resourceful. Meaning, you know, we have always been somewhat wasteful of things. Like, you know, we tend to throw away scraps and everything. And that's where they talk about, like, wolves and, you know, other animals hanging around humans, you know, trying to impress them.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah. You know, the reason I brought this up is I feel like they're somewhat, I would say, better equipped to think long term than us.
Yeah. They just looked at us as like a meal ticket and stayed. But that's interesting because when I was younger, my grandfather had a pet squirrel outside, and he would just leave some nuts and bird seed for him, and they became friends, and that was Buddy the Squirrel. So, yeah.
Yeah, that works actually. Yeah, because even you know, Cesar Millan, right, the dog guy.
Yeah.
You know, he says something like, you know, humans are the only species that follow unfit leaders. You know, because we are so far removed from our internal spirituality, right? Like, we are not able to determine what's truth and what's like just a smoke screen. So do you think in today's society, I would not say names, but people are suppressing their other people's spirituality in terms of just general life?
Absolutely. And I believe it's intentional, because when you separate somebody from their intuition and their spiritual source, they're so much easier to manipulate.
Yeah, because I thankfully we don't have TikTok here, but, you know, we got the mini cancerous version of that, like the Instagram reels, right? I see gadgets that women have, or even men, you know, carry, where they're having a side mirror when they're walking to check who is behind them. I'm like, could you imagine that you have amended your intuition so much that you do not know there is somebody behind you?
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine your, you know, level of instinct? At that point, you're not even human, I would say. You're not even like a, you know, biological species.
Like a mental loaf.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, we have put like smoke screens on our radar. You know, like, we do not know anymore. We do not know literally anything anymore. Like, people think, you know, when they crave food, they're hungry. Like, could you imagine that? Like, when, you know, craving food is different from being hungry, right? It's like difference between fatigue and sleep.
Yeah.
Right. When, you know, you could be tired, but you could not, you know, you'd not be sleepy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like it's an attempted thing where people are trying to suppress their intuition and spirituality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because more and more atheists are around the world,
yeah,
right? Yet they bow down to their bosses and corporations. Like, that's the most hilarious thing ever, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What I've
been seeing is, and I believe what you're saying was true, I think in the last maybe 50 years or so, that there is a huge upsurgence of atheism and whatever the other one is, agnostic, that's the one. Now, in the last probably 5 or so years, especially since COVID started, there's a huge surge back to spirituality. And from what I've seen, it seems like every religion or spiritual belief system that we're going through a shift of times. And spiritually, and looking at the astrological calendar, it's that song. Mm-hmm. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius right now. And then with Christianity, it's the return of Jesus. And what I believe that to be is the Christ consciousness energy. And it's the era that we're entering into is a balance of masculine and feminine energy. Whereas we were just exiting, we're currently exiting an era of predominantly masculine energy. That's why there's like the quote unquote toxic masculinity, because, you know, if there's only one type of energy, where every single one of us is made from masculine and feminine energy. And we have that internal balance individualized with each and every one of us. And when you take one of those out, you wind up with a toxic version of the other one. So if you're operating completely in your feminine, then you're not having as much action and intentionality in your life. Versus if you're acting only in your masculine, then you're on the go too much and you're not listening to that flow, and you don't have that balance. And so we're entering the era of that flow and balance of these two energies.
Yeah. I might be a little weird one on this topic, because I feel like our society has always been a matriarchal society, because women's life is placed at a higher value than a man's life. Like, that's the truth. That's the boiling down point, I feel like. And, you know, and that's what it always has been. And whenever, you know, like, I see people talk about toxic masculinity, right?
Yeah.
If I ask them to define it, they cannot. That's the problem with it. it's like calling someone, you know, socialist, right? Like, if you ask them what is socialist, they're like...
Yeah. And
I don't know.
I don't really like using that term toxic either, because I don't think men are inherently toxic. That might be an unpopular opinion for some people, but it's,
You know, I mean, Devin, in today's world, it is a controversial topic to say that, you know, like, a man is a man and a woman is a woman, at least in your country.
Yeah.
So how does it feel for you to live in this whitewashed era?
You know, it's all I know. it's what I grew up with. It's my core values. I've traveled. I've been to different parts of the world, but it's ingrained in my upbringing. So I can't really speak on much else outside of that. I love hearing people's differing perspectives, and I'm open to hearing it and absorbing the information.
I feel like all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what people used to call as gender dysphoria today does not exist. Like, how is that possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine all of a sudden doctors started calling obese people or as a different species. Just imagine that. Like, okay, you are obese. Okay, that means you are like human ultra pro max, let's say, right? You are a different version of human.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden in this world, obesity won't exist. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the problem with propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I feel like until even like latest 21st century, America was the best propaganda machine in the world. And I always say that, like, not Nazi Germany, guys, not Russia, not freaking North Korea, not China. The best propaganda machine ever created was United States. But they got so cocky that when other people started to run better propaganda machines, they could not keep up with it. And I feel like all of this stir that's coming out, right? Like all of the shit that's coming up, I feel like it's all induced. It's not, it's almost like it is seeded. Because it's very apparent, you know, there is a certain group of people that are really pushing for this. Right. And even at the fall of Roman or Greek civilization, the thing that, you know, was the last thing that was brought up was sexuality.
Yeah.
Because Russians know this. I don't know whether, you know, Americans know it or not. But when you challenge basic principles of biology and philosophy, you break people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you believe in something, right? When you believe in something that is true, right? You know, right now I could say, Devin, there is a ghost behind you. You'd be like, yeah, fuck you, you know. Because you believe it to be false, right? But if I could somehow prove that, you know, there is something behind you, right? That's propaganda. And I feel like that's what people have been going through, like this whole mass castration of society's ability to think, right? And I feel like because I'm from an outside country, right? Like my opinions absolutely, you know, amount up to zero. Because I don't vote in America, right? Like I never step foot on that particular land. But when you look at it from an outside perspective, it feels like it's an attempted murder of your like culture and civilization.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very apparent.
And if you hear the speeches that the leaders, some of them elected, some of them unelected officials, they talk about they talk about the depopulation agenda, and there's several different ways to go about that. I personally believe people should live their lives in whatever way makes them feel, whatever way fills their heart is the way that you should live your life. But I do think that there is an insane amount of propaganda here, and there are a lot of similarities between the ending of Greek and Roman Empire and what's going on now. I think there's a lot of biblical consistencies. I don't follow religion personally, so I can't quote scripture or anything along those lines, but people that I know that do follow those religions, they've shown me some pretty interesting things. I don't know. It's just, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
I
mean, I love how this conversation is rolling, because it's all coming back to a circle if I really look at it as a from a long-term perspective. Because I have a theory about it. And the theory is domestication of humans. And I cannot prove this theory yet, because I have not done enough long-term, you know, trend search. But I understand this very innately, like it's my second nature, because I'm an Indian, and Indians are very good with mathematics. It's a stereotypical thing, but that's true. So I have always been a mathematics guy. Like if you throw even a relationship problem or an emotional problem to me, and my first tendency is to solve it with numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's the way, you know, chimp brain works, right? So, and when I look at all the stuff that's happening, right, I feel like this is a mass process of domestication of humans.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I say this, people are like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean by domestication? Right? Like, are we animals? I'm like, exactly. And I always give one prime example, Devin. I don't know whether you have horses or not. If you have, that's good for you. If you don't have, that's also good for you.
I do not.
Right. Yeah, so you're saving money, I would say. So, you know, just like, what, like 100 years ago, mm-hmm. we rode on these horses to war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we wore armors of, you know, hundreds of pounds, and, you know, like, we rode on these horses. We trusted these horses to win wars. And they have done that for, like, probably 10 centuries, right? Now, you talk to any average horse owner today, they probably have a temperature-controlled environment, right? Like a building
mm-hmm.
for the horse. And as soon as even temperature drops by, let's say, 10 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, they put on warm blankets for the horses. I'm not saying that's bad. But if you stick with me, you'll be able to understand that we have domesticated horses to an extent where they are literally show ponies. They couldn't do shit, right? But now you compare the same horse to a horse that's in like in a Amish society, right? It's not beautiful. It's not gorgeous, but it's still wild. Like if it ran away, it could survive, you know, because it has seen harsh things. And I feel like that's what we're doing to humans.
Yeah.
Because somewhere along the way, people in authority understood, okay, if we are able to domesticate anything, that particular animal becomes dependent, right? Because if you feed your cat every day and, you know, a week you're gone, there are only two chances. If it's like third or fourth generation of domesticated cats, it will die.
Yeah.
Right? But if it's still a feral cat, it will like, fuck you and I'm gone, right? That's like the instinct or DNA, whatever you want to call it as.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at people, we are the same thing, right? Like you take away flat screens from people and ask them how many vital skills do you have?
Yep.
Right? And then the conversation seems like very dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take away flat screens, there has not been much push towards skills.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm pretty sure, Devin, like, you know, your generation or even the later generations knew how to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like a car, like a plumbing problem, electrical problem. Today, people cannot do that.
Yeah.
Right. So that means you are dependent on a system that is able to exploit you.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at medicine for that example, or even religion.
Yep.
Right? Because somehow we have come to this narrative that if you do not go to church, you're not religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how does that make sense? It's like this, if you don't go to bank, you're not rich.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. What do you think about my broken propaganda theory?
I think it's completely true. If you take away all of our life skills, then we require a system. You know, everybody used to have their own garden. They used to have animals in the background, whether it's chicken, goats, horses, whatever it was. And we would procure most of our own food from our homes or the homes of everybody around us. And we were living in these small communities where we were all involved in one another. And now we live in communities, and here in the States, individuality is promoted. And so it's, you know, it's weird to make connections with your neighbor or, you know, say hi to them on the street. And we're all so dependent on this system that we look at the government as something that is good and needs to take care of us. But I believe that we're all sovereign beings, and sovereign beings don't require governance. But we can be made to think that we require governance, propaganda, manipulation, fear, and removal of our basic life skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel so. And I feel like in today's world, I'm sorry to go back to the same thing, like we expect government to tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, who you, you know, to be very basic, like who you marry should not be a government's concern.
I agree.
You marry a man, a woman, a freaking cat, a wolf, or an animal, like it should not be the concern of governments. But they get to tell you who to, you know, whom you can choose as your partner.
Yeah.
Right. It should, I feel like it should not be a government's like job to tell you how to treat yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. But people would be surprised if they found out how many household you know medical systems have been banned in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you know Pfizer can just pull out like a $1 billion check and just corrupt the fuck out of politicians.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that's the thing that, you know, pushes me the most. Like, because I always hear this thing like civilized, right? Like people are civilized. We are not animals anymore. And this is the back to back hearing that I have, you know, heard from people. They say, we are not animals anymore. We are not animals anymore. I'm like, okay. Dude, did you live through COVID? Like, people freaking fought in malls for toilet paper, not for food.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the truth, right? Like, you know, people fought for bullshit, like literally.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now imagine in 1934 when there was like a 3-year famine worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think humans are humans? No. Right? Because Devin, if you're a farmer, you choose to protect your family and feed your family first.
Yeah.
And no matter, because even then governments tried to intervene, right? So they made a law against hoarding. Like you cannot hoard food.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be a government's job.
Yeah.
But they're like, we need to protect you know, vulnerable people in cities. I'm like, no. You know, like people can defend themselves and survive.
Yeah.
But by government putting up a law, right, government became the biggest hoarder of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
right.
The food system that we have in America is one of the biggest dumpster fires I've ever seen. You know, what we allow in our food in America isn't even allowed to be shipped out to other countries to be fed to livestock. And people eat it like it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? And then,
yeah.
Yeah, there's this huge cycle. You know, our food, air, and water are poisoned. And then we're told the only way to heal ourselves is through these pharmaceutical companies mm-hmm. that were created
mm-hmm.
based on.
Yeah.
Operation Paperclip and petrochemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So they want us to poison ourselves yeah. with medicine to fix the poison from the food and the water. And
yeah,
you know, they're taking away our skills. We're required to go to school from the ages of 5 to 18. And you'd think one of
to learn nothing.
Right.
Right.
To learn
nothing.
Yeah. To learn what they want us to memorize. And you'd think
yeah.
if they were actually teaching us something, we would learn how to cultivate food. Mm-hmm. How to
yeah.
take care of ourselves out in the world. But no, mm-hmm. we're taught to memorize all these things. And yes, I think it's important to know how to read and to know how to do math and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there
yeah.
there needs to be other life skills involved. And I know when I was in school,
yeah.
we had home ec and shop classes, but I've heard that those mm-hmm. have been taken out of the school system.
Yeah. Why would they need that though?
Yeah, exactly. Why would we need to learn how to sew? To bake,
yeah.
to cook. To
you got Amazon.
Family. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just making us dependent on all of these systems that are broken and can be used
yeah.
as reward and punishment in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I work in, you know, because I'm interested in the same field, right? Like mm-hmm. I am very bullish on food
mm-hmm.
because I think that's the next big thing. I don't care about data.
Yeah.
Like you could literally take 100 naked pictures of my dad. I don't give a shit. Like I could live in a cave, right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't live without food. Like people do not understand that. People, okay, I will put it this way. People think virtual punishment is real punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people get banned on TikTok, they cry. I'm like, why the fuck are you crying? You just got blocked from a cancer, right? Like you know, something that would take your data. Because, for example, right now, Threads, right? Like Threads is a new thing on Meta.
Yeah.
Did you know that Threads need access to your heartbeat and motion sensors?
No, I didn't.
And your eye rapid movements?
That's sketchy.
I mean, damn. Like,
yeah.
And they're doing that to study behavior. And you could talk to any digital marketer.
Yeah.
And they would tell you, like, now technology needs to understand how you react, right? What sentiment do you produce when you look at a poster or an ad?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you get irritated? Was your heartbeat elevated? Or did you feel happy? Like, and all of that is captured through your eye rapid movement or heartbeat, right? And we are giving them this data, like, very happily.
Yeah.
Right? Because I get to watch a girl twerk for free. So I'm like, yeah, take my data, you know, take take everything I have. Right? So, yeah, I'm always bullish on food. And even in India, right, the problem, I hate this. I hate to talk about this because India is a farmer's country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 46% of Indians are farmers.
Yeah. Wow.
And the biggest freaking thing that I hate is, you know, because in every family there is a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a speculation. It's a reality. Like one of your brothers or sisters would be in farming. And when I talk to and train city people, they're surprised how much food they can grow in a small space.
Yeah.
Because monocrop, when you know all agriculture, if you just search for agriculture, the first 10 images you would find is monocropping.
Mm-hmm.
I can bet my life on it.
Yeah.
You know, the first 10 things you'd find is monocropping. And when I talk to them about companion, you know, plantation and you know, how you can grow so much food on your own, they are surprised. They are like, okay, I did not think about this. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean you did not think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like you come from a country where you are supposed to feed the world. You know, and when I talk to Americans, I'm even further horrified.
Yeah, I could see that for us.
Yeah, I was watching a YouTube video where a kid, right, she was around, I would say, 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
She thought that food was manufactured in an industry. Could you imagine being so far removed from reality?
Yeah. Yeah,
and... Yeah, and you know, like it's yeah, the kid is from the same country where 46% of people think they can fight off a lion.
You can't. Yeah, I agree with you. I actually grew up on a farm, so I have that in my heritage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that. There's good and bad with that. You know, it was great because I got to grow up a lot closer to nature than most people. But the bad of that is my family used conventional farming methods, which eventually led to the death of my dad. So because of all the chemicals that were sprayed on the crops, he developed blood cancer from it. And, you know, so I like to say Monsanto poisoned my dad to death because that's it. That's
but did you sue them though?
What's that?
Did you sue them though? Did you take them to court for that?
He did not want that in his living years, but I would love nothing more than to see the fall of conventional farming in my years. So I plan on taking action on that.
But Devin, don't make it public.
Well, they have class action lawsuits.
Yeah, but don't make it public.
Yeah.
Because Monsanto is just like what? Like $100 billion industry?
Mm-hmm.
A corporation?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always hate that name. It's like the Voldemort of Harry Potter, right? The one who shall not be named.
Yeah.
They tried to pull that shit over in India also.
Mm-hmm.
Like about patented seeds.
Yeah.
They took farmers to court. But thankfully, Indian courts were like, fuck you. We are not doing that. Indian court said that it is your response if you have patented the seed, it is your responsible you are responsible for the safety and security of the distribution system,
mm-hmm.
and make sure the seeds do not reproduce. And they said, if a farmer grows without your permission, fuck you. Like, you can't do shit on it.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to sue farmers, and it was a very high amount because they thought India was another, United States.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so much protected by courts, and courts have also warned, companies, right?
Yeah.
The same company that you were talking about, the Walmart, that you better not bring more lawsuits similar to this. Like, you cannot go after farmers in India.
Yeah.
Good. But in United States, it's like, yeah, dude, why the fuck should a farmer live? Right?
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing, because, yeah, and you were talking about chemicals, right? Like, in India, Devin, could you believe people use urea or DPK, right, for farming, and they spread it in the field with their bare hands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not even machines, like, just with their bare hands, they're just spreading it. Could you imagine the amount of diseases that our people suffer? I mean, that's more worse than anything else, right?
More worse than what?
That's more worse than anything else ever, right? Like, in the history, because it's like, there is the proverb, don't kill the hand that feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally doing that.
Yeah.
Right? You're literally killing those people who are responsible for your life.
Yeah. And then killing the people who are eating the food, because if you have to wear a hazmat suit, or if it's recommended to wear a hazmat suit to spray something on your food, then you probably shouldn't be eating that food. And there's this mentality in the US that, mm-hmm. The cultural norm is that it doesn't matter, and that mm-hmm. food is safe because we have all these regulatory agencies. But they don't understand that the company, the Voldemort company, and their parent company, Bayer,
mm-hmm.
paid these regulatory agencies.
Yeah.
And then there's a revolving door of careers. So you start in a government mm-hmm. agency, and then you move to private, where you make a ton of money. You get your experience in the mm-hmm. government, and then you go to private. But is the private agency going to hire somebody who tried to regulate them and, messed with their bottom line? Absolutely not. So it's just between lobbying and industry funded regulatories, we don't have anything that is mm-hmm. special in protecting us. Our government works for organizations. They don't work for the people that allegedly elect them.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Devin, do you know who is the most successful stock trader in the world?
Stock trader?
As
a person or just an organization?
Yeah, as a human being, as a person.
Warren Buffett?
Nope. So let me preface this, right? Like, not even organizations, like, hedge funds are not able to operate at that profit margin. And the best trader in the world is Nancy Pelosi. Growth of wealth by 634%. Good number, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of luck she's had.
Yes, a lot of luck and a lot of timing. And just like, she's the magician, I think. I think, like, she has, like, Devin, if you can read people, like, if you can read spirituality or souls, like, she could read God, I think.
Well, I think,
because she's just like, this shit is going to happen next.
Yeah, I think it helps when you're married to somebody who, isn't her husband, like, in the stock trend field or something, or?
No, her husband's account is different. That's the thing. When I say Nancy Pelosi is the best trader in the world, it's her own personal portfolio. It's not her family's.
Okay.
So they bought LPG, right? The cooking gas.
Mm-hmm.
So the gas freezing technology, like people have where, you know, you can freeze the natural gas and you can export it through containers.
Okay.
She bought a shit ton of stock in that particular one company before the Nord Stream was attacked in Europe. Like around like 3 hours or 4 hours before.
Good timing.
And yeah, and when people looked into it, she was buying like from past like 8 to 10 days, she was continuously buying everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only into one company. And it was the same company that they got the agreement, you know, to supply natural gas to Europe.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, luck and timing. Like, you know, she's the best strategist in the world.
Yeah. I mean, the blatant disregard for ethics is so obvious. And it's kind of marvelous that some people aren't seeing that. Seeing what's going on. But I also think that, you know, we're in a time where truth is really coming to light and we're seeing a lot of the fallacies that are happening. And also that there's going to be people who just don't want to see the fallacies, because when you wake up to what's really going on, it can be devastating at first.
Devin, I have had like 35 episodes, right, on my podcast, and I had around, I would say, 20 plus American guests.
Yeah.
And my sole aim is to push them to become a congressman or congresswoman.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because if you can become a congresswoman and you can just give me like, you know, key informations. You know, Devin, we both could be rich.
Yeah.
Right. Because on an average congressman who sits in any committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
They tend to make around 234 or 235% return on their investments. So they are full-time stock traders, part-time congressmen.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not the other way around.
Yeah. I know, we've got some problems here.
Yeah. I think, I don't know which university did the study. They said the quickest way to become a millionaire is not to have a tech startup. It is to become a congressman. It's like the quickest way.
Yeah.
You know, to become a millionaire, and then I think, you know, average net worth of congressmen or congresswomen, you know, including offshore, you know, things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's around 100 plus million.
Wow.
Yeah. So the amount of money, you know, that, and you know, like people don't understand this. Even Americans, when I talk to them, mm-hmm. that congressmen or congresswomen, like, you know, like representatives hold board positions in corporations while they are serving.
Yep.
Right? And then they go on to work on, you know, these corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
democracy.
Yeah, allegedly. That's what they're promoting.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to formulate what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without getting silenced, right?
Yeah. Just in a way that we won't get kicked off any social media platforms for it. So.
Yeah, I don't post it on social media. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, I know my world remotes. I'm very aware of them. I stay away from them.
All right. Yeah. So, is our current president's family a Voldemort?
I would not say they're world remotes. I think they're just dumb.
Yeah.
And just cocky, you know. Like, I can do this shit and get away with it. Like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And I mean,
I think it's just arrogance at this point of time.
It really is, because, you know, they clearly do not work for the citizens. There is clearly a higher, I don't want to say higher power, because I don't believe evil has power.
I feel like it's just high priority, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a there's the government we see, and then there's the government that's behind the scenes. And I see that our current sitting president and his family, you know, talking about getting kickbacks. Yeah. We have his son doing these horrendous things. Literally has so many illegal activities filmed on his computer. And there's known trades between different countries, our president's son, and then our president gets 10% of whatever his son is doing.
Yeah.
So it's, I just don't understand how that's allowed.
I don't understand how a man who is so fragile can be president.
Yeah, our presidents are chosen. They're not elected.
Yes, I agree on that so much.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like,
because I have not seen many presidency tenures, getting over before 4 years, right? Like the prescribed 4 years. I have not seen that much. I feel like even when people have done sad as shit, they completed their tenures.
Mm-hmm.
And in India, I'm very proud of it. Like, we have had like at least like 5 to 6 prime ministers who did not finish their tenures. The government just fell because people were like, fuck you, dude. And that happens. Yeah, because in India, it's like Indians are very, very much like Americans, because I think we both were fucked over by the same people, right? The gingers on an island that like to play the Game of Thrones. So people just don't like laws and rules and bureaucracy. They absolutely hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had prime ministers who lost support of people because they just got sidetracked.
Yeah.
And we have seen prime ministers resigning not even in India, in almost all countries when they were caught in a scandal or, a corruption thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here is Hunter Biden's laptop, which is freaking Google, for the dark web, right? Has so many shit on it. And nothing happened, right?
No.
As far as I'm aware, nothing happened. I mean, the guy who fixed the laptop got screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all.
Yeah, he was screwed over. Right. It was, Facebook wasn't promoting it because it was during the election season, and it would look bad on Biden if that were to come out.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
And you were called crazy if you said anything about it.
Yes.
So it's illegal. If you and I were to go and watch anything that's on his laptop, we could get arrested here. But he's still walking free, and his dad is still doing weekend journeys in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you aware of this recent news where I think it was FDA or some regulatory agency that did a report on COVID vaccines and why they do not work?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the problems with that particular vaccine? And the report is like 240 pages, and it was made public, and all the 240 pages were retracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know which stand-up comedian said. He said, they're just environmentally aware people. You get the document, you put it back to the printer. Because there is nothing on it, right?
Yeah.
The retracted document was given to congressmen, like people in power. And that's why they are pissed off, because they're like, if you do not show me what's going on, then, oh my God, like there is something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Devin, the last time in India we had something similar, right? that there was a suspicion that we bought Rafael jets, the fighter jets from France, and there was some corruption involved in it. And that's what was the assumption. Supreme Court belted the fuck out of government, to give everything, and they made literally everything public. If you use the word retracted or, not available to public in India, it does not fly.
As it should.
Yeah, people would show up very quickly and prove you wrong.
Yeah.
But I see in the United States all the time, when I talk to any American from any state, they're like, yeah, we don't know a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Operation Paperclip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, that's the primary reason why NASA is even successful today.
Yeah.
No, you know, because without Nazis, NASA would not even be remotely sustainable, let alone successful.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I first heard that, you know, CIA tested chemicals on their own cities, have you heard of it?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're not working for the people at all.
No. And they never were meant to.
Because, right? If you tested it on your enemies, I'd be like, yeah, justifiable, maybe. Not on your own people, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, and right. I think that shows the level of care our government has for us. Yeah. And
yes.
I don't think that's exclusive to the United States. I think it's more of a global mm-hmm. issue mm-hmm. with that same level of care. And
yeah.
The COVID shot, my heart just goes out to anybody that was affected by it. And just, I mean, there is so much propaganda thrown at it. And
yeah.
didn't comply with everything. You were called every single name under the book, and it was just
yeah.
I mean,
I really want to talk to a doctor right now. Like
yeah.
you know, now I'm searching for old tweets. Unfortunately, all have been deleted. You know, I want to talk to those doctors who said COVID vaccine is a thing. I'm like, okay, like come on now and talk
mm-hmm.
about vaccines, because I know I'm a 90s kid, like. You know, I have been probably given every freaking shot that exists in terms of vaccine, right, as a kid. But yeah, even in India, IISc, you know, Indian Institute of Science, you know, was saying, you know, this is not a vaccine, you know, this is a temporary fix. And they worked on it. And yeah, but, you know, I never remember enforcement of law, like where you had to take shots.
Yeah.
The only law that I saw in India, and even that was not enforceable, was you had to take 2 shots to enter like theaters and public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of states did not accept it. States were like, yeah, man, whatever, fuck you. Like, you know, like we are suffering enough from failure of businesses. You know, income stream is low. People are killing themselves. So we cannot keep doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like how my country handled back in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Devin, you have to understand that we are 1.5 billion people.
Yeah.
Right. And I think 82% of people got vaccinated in 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like the government's push. Like, we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, the company that did COVID vaccines in India, right, really suffered, because it was a government subsidized program, because they could not make money on it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that whole thing is, I feel like that was just a trailer of a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the government was like, boys, remember, you feel you're powerful as a common citizen, we could really fuck some shit up if we wanted.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do shit about it. And that, I think that was a statement that was made. And I think that has what made people more compliant to policies and rules.
Yeah.
Right? Because even now you see in society, people walk with masks.
Mm-hmm.
That they know do not work.
Yeah. I know. I remember, so shortly before COVID, both of my parents had cancer from Voldemort. And when they were going through their treatments, they were told, your immune system is really suppressed. You can wear this mask, but it doesn't really do much. It's more of a placebo effect to make you feel good about yourself. And so I had that in my mind. And then when COVID happened, I was like, what are y'all doing? And I heard it explained really well that those masks don't catch the virus, because the holes in the mask are too wide. It's essentially like one of us trying to walk through a barn door. You know, there's ample space to do that. But what it does do is is it catches the moisture in our breath. So our breath moisture is caught into the mask and all of the other smaller particles are rocketed out. So now COVID and everything is like floating on like our head level versus if we were just breathing normally, our breath is weighted by water molecules and would sink to the ground faster. So it's enhancing the spread of the virus. But there was such an intense fear escape. And again, it, you know, if the fear didn't work, then they started with the shame. If you don't wear a mask, then you're insert whatever name they wanted to call you.
Yeah, you are a redneck, right? You are a conservative.
Yeah.
You vote for Trump.
It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, people don't understand how masks work because masks only work when everybody masks up. Because mask is to prevent you from spreading virus. It's not the other way around.
Yeah. But it's also... There's also a lot of really bad effects from wearing a mask. I think within a couple of minutes.
Oxygen deprivation, increase in carbon monoxide presence in your lungs, increase in moisture in your lungs. I know about it. Devin, I am not even American, and if you ask me, I would vote Trump right now. I don't give a shit about Biden because people thought after Barack Obama, who was supposed to be a saint, right? And people don't know that he killed the most people. duration. They were like, okay, we need somebody because Obama was too plain. He was too good. And society was like, okay, we need to have someone like Elvis as a president. So they were like, okay, let's go for Trump. And when Trump was like tweeting this shit out of everybody and everything, they were like, okay, we need a stable president. And they chose the most unstable man. And now they're realizing, okay, shit is better than shittier. And now everybody is like, I feel like, Trump's going to win this one if election happens.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to pull?
Yeah, because, states are, I think, denying ballots for him, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're saying, you already choose Uncle Sam.
Yeah. What I've seen, though, is that's getting overturned. I know... There's a couple of states that the Supreme Court said you can't do that in. But
Thank God for Supreme Court, right? It's not political.
Yeah.
How is it?
I mean, it's supposed to not be, but there's nothing truly unbiased. I mean, we all have our own individual personal biases, but you can't get that high in politics or anything without
Also, isn't like your judges appointed by president or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're definitely political.
And there was a huge issue when Trump was president that there was a Supreme Court seat that needed to get filled. And it's all a dog and pony show. And, sit back with my popcorn and see what happens.
And it's more entertaining for someone who's not American because they do not have real life consequences.
Yeah.
So, American politics is far more funny and entertaining for me than you, right? Because for you, it has real implications.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I always worry about that because, when I make fun of these things, I'm like, whatever, because I'm literally 12 hours away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and believe it or not, India is the next super country, superpower country.
Yeah.
because we are one of those countries who indigenously developed nuclear weapons. So I'm like, okay, I'm in a very good spot here, right? Because if I am pretty sure, Devin, if I lived in a smaller country, I would be 100% scared of what's happening in the United States. Because every time there is if a husband cheats on his wife and, there is an argument, he's like, look over there, fire. And that fire is like bomb and wars.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, if I was a small country in Middle East, I would be shitting myself looking at American politics right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Middle East, you know, gets a slap in their ass for doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just sitting there and boom, bombs. Drones, you know, like strikes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very unique situation that the United States is in, right? Because mm-hmm. United States supports Israel,
yeah.
but supports Ukraine on the war.
Mm-hmm.
How does it work?
You know, the news just tells us what to believe, and if you think differently, you're wrong. But as long as our government is funding both sides of every war, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But
so, somebody was saying, like, you know, like the reason America hates Russia is they cannot supply weapons to them.
Yeah, that would make sense. And I mean, Russia doesn't allow any GMO products in their country.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm not saying that Putin is a fantastic human being at all.
Yeah.
But there are some interesting choices that he's making as the leader mm-hmm. of his country. And, you know,
kind
of
yeah.
what you were saying about India is how I feel about living here in Texas, because mm-hmm. we're the only state that has it written into our agreement with the U.S. that if it's not serving us, we can pull out. And we've kept pretty independent.
So. Yeah. I feel like Texas is one of those brothers or sister in a family who is the sane one. Like, yeah, whenever this shit gets wild, I'm out of here.
Yeah. That's not a popular opinion in the US, but I agree with it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because liberals would like to think like California is like the most sane state ever, right? Where they were doing a study where they said that it's better to be homeless in California than to be employed.
I could see that, yeah. There's a lot of benefits.
You get more benefits.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing all illegal immigrants coming to California.
Mm-hmm.
I know Indians that are, you know, illegally there.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, Devin? Like, they are coming through Mexican border. I can show you if you're on Instagram, I could send you like literally thousands of videos where people are like, yay, I made it to United States.
Yeah.
And they're thanking their handlers, you know, mm-hmm. the person who's sitting in India who arranged the travel. They're like, okay, thank you so much, Devin, for, you know, arranging all this.
Don't drag me into this. I've never done that.
It's okay. You're in Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, and all of them are going to California.
Interesting. Because I mean, in Texas, that's a big issue that we're hearing about here, is that there's mm-hmm. a lot of immigration coming through. And that's another thing where I don't think the government should be able to tell us where to live. If we want to move, if I want to get up and go somewhere one day, I think that is my God-given right to be able to get up and go.
But Devin, realistically, where could you move from Texas?
That's,
like, maybe to even Central America, maybe?
Yeah, that's the question. My husband and I are trying to figure out which country would be best to live in. And
okay, you're looking international. That's good. Yeah, because I feel like, you know, once like people like Joe Rogan moved to Texas,
mm-hmm.
you know, they also took away somewhat of a soul of the states, right? Because it was a secluded stage. Now it's like, you know, converted political people, you know, like liberals who became conservatives are like, okay, let's move to Texas.
Yeah, we're getting, I think half of California is here by now. My husband and I made the pilgrimage from Southern California out here, but we were trying to escape mm-hmm. California.
Yeah.
A lot of,
I mean, just the taxes are insane, right, in California.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think there was a study conducted where people have in average lifetime of a Californian with the current regulations, they're taxed around 83% when you include everything. So you are literally working for the government.
Yeah,
they should give you the title of public servant. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, my God. And then you look at north of your country. That's a freaking dictator land.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in Canada, I think in Quebec, I think they're introducing rain tax.
Rain tax? What is that? I haven't heard of that.
So it's like, you know, have you heard of like, you know, there was 7 centimeter rain today, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how they measure how much it rained. So they will measure the rain and then they will see how big is your property and how much rain it rained on your property. And they're going to tax you on that.
On the water that falls? No, that's too much.
So you had to get an umbrella, I think, for your property.
But then doesn't that water still go on the ground?
No, it would not. It would go to sewers, right? Because there is no soil in cities.
Yeah.
Especially in Canadian cities where, mm-hmm. yeah, where they were saying two bedroom apartments are going up of $4 million Canadian dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. That's turning into dictator land very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, food prices have gone insane there. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy here too. I haven't heard much about Canada specifically, but
yeah, because in Canada they have introduced the carbon tax.
Mm-hmm.
So every time food gets handled, you have to pay something like carbon tax, and it has almost tripled the regular prices. Just a tax.
That's insane.
It's not even the commodity price.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to being taken away from community with the land. If we were able to grow our own food, it wouldn't mm-hmm. matter what was going on in the grocery stores. Like over the last
couple years,
my husband and I have really switched our consumer practices to buying mm-hmm. most of our fruits, vegetables, meat, eggs and stuff at the farmer's market, because I know mm-hmm. I can drive an hour and that's my carbon footprint, instead of somebody in your family growing something in India, shipping it across, having it mm-hmm. come through California,
yes,
and then shipped
exactly.
across the country.
Yeah.
And it's, mm-hmm. you know, and it's so much healthier mm-hmm. to eat at the farmer's market too. I was listening to a documentary where there's a certain enzyme in fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. that are made within 48 mm-hmm. hours of it becoming ripe. And it's a cancer fighting enzyme.
Yes.
And so
yeah.
when you're eating food that was picked within mm-hmm. the last 48, 72 hours, and it's on your plate and mm-hmm. you're eating it then, it's so much healthier
yeah.
than an apple that was picked 3 years ago that was put in a freezer, covered in wax, and then ripened
mm-hmm.
that way.
Because yeah.
you're not getting the natural elements of the food. You're not getting the proper nutrition and even the nutritional mm-hmm. food, you know.
Don't talk about nutrition, Devin. Don't talk about it. It's a shame. It's literal shame. Like,
yeah.
My God. Like, that's when I'm really like, fuck doctors. Because those people don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and they will mess up humanity for that. In spinach, the drop of iron, could you guess how much iron has dropped out of spinach in terms of nutrition? Can you guess in like, let's say from 1948 to 2017?
Isn't it like 10 times less or something?
No, it's worse.
Worse than that?
Yeah. It's like 455% drop.
Wow.
So it's like you almost have to eat, the last time I checked in your metrics, I think you had to eat around 7.5 pounds of spinach to get what your forefathers caught in like, I think in like 100 grams, like I think like that might be like what, 2.2 to 3 ounces.
Yeah.
My God, nutrition is a joke at this point of time. It's a fun challenge whenever I talk to urban people, right, in America.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge them, go to a big like a general store, right, and find me one imperfect vegetable or fruit.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. You know, and I'm not talking about those vegetables that have holes or, you know, have pests. Not that. I'm just saying one odd shaped smaller vegetable.
Yeah. They're not there.
It's almost like everything rolled out of a factory. Everything is same size, same shape, same color.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Genetically modified.
Right. And the amount of food waste.
Yeah.
Right. That produce by big stores. Yeah. That's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
yet we talk about diversity when it comes to humans. Have you noticed that?
What do you, in like thought diversity or physical diversity?
No, just people diversity, physical diversity.
Yeah.
And that apparently only applies to humans.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I've always been, as I said, bullish on food, because I know. Because I went through the same COVID period as everybody else, right?
Yep.
And I realized, okay, the next superpower is food.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like Walmart are actively messing it up. And I think, you know, if I can help people equip themselves with ability to grow food on demand,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you could be pretty rebellious, right? Because imagine a city cannot protest, because if they say, okay, we are going to block food, that's it.
Yeah.
You have to comply. But imagine you being able to be self-sustained. I'm not talking about homesteading, like full versions.
Mm-hmm.
You could have your corporate jobs. You could go to parties and clubs. But if you could spend, like, let's say 20 minutes every week, and if you could get at least 10 to 15% of your nutrition source, right, from your own, you know, efforts, you become pretty confident, I would say.
Yeah.
And but I also feel like that teaches people humbleness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
because you realize how difficult it is, like, to do anything.
Yeah. My husband and I, we just planted our garden for the third year. And I would say gardening mm-hmm. is one of the most humbling experiences that I've had, because, you know, it doesn't always work. Like one year, yes. Our first year, we had tomatoes for like 8 months and we had no idea what to do with all of these tomatoes. And we planted the same kind of tomatoes next year. And I swear to you, I had two tomatoes, mm-hmm. like cherry tomatoes, mm-hmm. tiny bite-sized ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's humbling. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The reason for that is mycelium.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that you went through.
Yeah.
That's mycelium. So are you going through the soil gardening?
Going through the soil? In what way?
Like do you mean, do you do tillage on your soil?
No.
Tilling?
No, we don't.
No.
We're going the permaculture route and regenerative soil, mm-hmm. and we're letting the weeds grow in the winter and just have that mulch mm-hmm. and get the root structures growing. And I was so excited. Mm-hmm. We were planting our plants last year or last weekend, and I found some earthworms in our garden beds.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We're getting lots of friends, but.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to look into manure, I think, to get better results.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried aquaponic or hydroponic farming?
No, I listen to a lot of podcasts with Zach Bush. Have you heard of him?
Nope.
He's a doctor who left the medical paradigm because mm-hmm. it was a shitstorm. And he has started looking into farming. You know, along his journey, he got into farming. And he talks about how important it is for plants to grow outside in soil, because mm-hmm. you're getting so many more minerals than mm-hmm. growing them inside with the hydroponics and whatnot.
I don't think you have to grow hydroponic or aquaponic inside. You could have the system outside.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The reason I'm saying is you would be less disappointed.
Okay.
If you try to incorporate it with your garden. Because with soil, the thing is, soil is very inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an aquaponic alternative structure, right, that is producing food constantly,
yeah.
you get more courage to do more experiment with soil.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look into that because we're definitely looking to add
because, see, what I tell people always is, always remember that it takes 3 years for your soil to go one plus one in pH level.
Okay.
And you have to do a lot of soil modification. Let's say if you, is your soil colored black or red or brown?
It's black. We have.
It's black soil, right? And does it contain a lot of small stones or is it very fine?
It's really fine and it has cow manure in it, mm-hmm. is the main fertilizer.
Okay. Then I would say the pH is somewhere around 8.5 to 9. I am thinking about that. Yeah, around 8.5 to 9. Now, a very good range for farming is 7.5 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, let's say you wanted to take that 9 to 10. It will take you 3 years of work. It's not a one-day process.
Yeah.
And if some asshole put chemicals into that soil, it takes you around 3 harvests for the chemical residue to go away from your food.
Yeah. Now, I think we got pretty lucky. I called around to everybody, asked about sourcing because there's a lot of flagrant use of the word organic. And I found a company, a gardening store out here that they only use organic soil, like true organic regenerative mm-hmm. soil from a local mm-hmm. dairy farm. Calling around, I got this one company and they use the word organic everywhere on their website that there was an opportunity to. And I called and asked, I said, oh, what is your fertilization source? And she said, oh, we use Austin's recycling. I can't remember the word right now. We have like trash bins that you like Austin compost. And I said, okay, you know, and I knew that it wasn't true organic. I knew it was organic because it had the organic components mm-hmm. to it, not the actual definition of that. And I said, well, mm-hmm. how do you separate out the GMO compost from the organic mm-hmm. compost from people's houses? And she's like, well, we don't just use it all. And I said, I don't think you're getting out all the chemicals from the farming. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm putting glyphosate rinds in my compost bin, you're going to have glyphosate in your soil.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, the word organic gets greenwashed so often, like organic products, mm-hmm. green this, green that, and people don't truly understand what it means. And
yeah,
it's just there's a lot of tricks around that people use or companies can use to get around actually having good quality products while using all of these green buzzwords.
True, because that's why I trust vermicompost so much rather than regular compost.
Yeah.
Because we have seen in Indian universities when they did the research that the earthworms, like the insects, right, that are responsible for vermicompost, they have chemical residue. They're not able to put it out in vermicompost.
Interesting.
So you could have a chemicalized food, let's say, but the vermicompost would not have that much of chemical. Mm-hmm. To be honest, Devin, I'm not really worried about chemicals in soil.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really not worried about it because if you're able to introduce organic matter, mm-hmm. right, like you're doing with manure or urine or whatever it is, or, you know, like compost or whatever, you know, like fills your boat, you can put all the chemicals you want. Like, I don't have an issue with it. But the problem that I have is when people are like obsessed with chemicals
mm-hmm.
and they see like there is no other option. And that's when I'm like, okay, you need to stop doing that because you're destroying everything. I recently discovered that the regulation for organic in America also allows for usage of chemicals.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck is that supposed to make sense? And that's why I see right now in India, whenever we are exporting a lot of things, they call it as natural farming rather than organic.
Yeah.
Because that word got fucked and it's now all natural. And that's why, you know, like if you go to your local supermarket, you'll be able to see aquaponic label on it. It will say aquaponic or hydroponics.
I don't think we have that.
The reason is, okay, it will come very soon. There also. The reason is you can do aquaponic or hydroponic farming with organic input.
Yeah.
So people are like, okay, less chemical residue, it's good for us. And I don't know, Devin, if you have tasted something that is from aquaponic farming. It tastes very, very organic or natural, but it tastes a little bit more different.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've had that.
Yeah, I would encourage you to just taste once, you know, just taste a celery or something from an aquaponic system. It tastes a little bit different, but the advantage with aquaponic is it takes 40% less time to grow. It takes 80% less water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have all the advantages. The reason I advocate for, you know, aquaponic is, as I said, you know, it is somewhat predictable how much you're going to grow compared to soil.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand what you're saying, but I disagree about the chemicals in the soil, because I think it's important to have organic soil, since that's where our fruits and vegetables are growing in. And
Devin, don't say that. Don't say that on record.
What do you mean?
Voldemort is listening.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's important to have soil because, you know, especially with root vegetables, things that grow in the soil, that absorbs what's in the soil. And then also there is the runoff of soil. A lot of farms are having issues where the topsoil is running off because there isn't that
erosion
holding it down. And you know, things get evaporated, it goes up in the air, and then it continues to come down. So as we're putting these Voldemort chemicals on the soil, just continuing to poison us in a myriad of ways.
Yeah. So to my audience, guys, it's the Devin who is advocating for chemical-free farming. I totally support all the chemicals. I feel like it's very good for the society and nature. So, yeah. You know where to find Devin. If you have any questions, you can reach out to her about the organic farming. I don't support it at all, even though I have a company for organic farming. Yeah, I don't support it.
I thought we
Yeah, that's that was a declaration.
I thought we were allowed to speak freely on this.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You are. At your own risk. I know, I'm just kidding. Like Monsanto got, you know, and got shit on meats like that. I don't care about chemicals. I hate them so much. I have been involved in projects in India where we are trying to bring farmers out of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Like we help farmers get rid of chemical farming, get back to organic farming, produce better, produce more at less cost. So because in India, we do not have one monopoly of chemicals. Like Monsanto isn't really that big here. You know, we have smaller companies, but you know, people, because you had to realize, Devin, that, you know, just 50 years ago, we were doing organic farming in India.
Yeah.
So it's not like a lost art. It's just that people have forgotten, and, you know, we need to remind them that, okay, chemical is not the only route. And, you know, a lot of projects have been successful in that terms, where we are producing more chemical-free food, and I'm very proud of it. You know, even in my own farming community, I see a lot of farmers coming out of organic, the chemical, and getting into organic, and I'm like, yep, that's good for you. Not only from a food perspective, but also from a business perspective. Because the biggest misconception is organic farming costs you more. I'm like, no, it doesn't cost you anything. If you're good with it. If you have your own animals, it doesn't cost you anything. You're able to produce your own fertilizers, pesticide, fungicide, whatever you want to call it as. you can manufacture on your own, and then you build a closed loop system where, you know, you're able to control everything.
I'm
with you in terms of chemicals. Like, I understand what harm it has done to people, because in India around 4% of farmers kill themselves every year because of chemicals, because they are pushed into a particular corner that they don't want to go to. We do live in a very messed up society. So Devin, any final words for my audience?
No, it's just a pleasure to connect with you on here, Ganesh, and to have this conversation. It's always nice to meet people who are like-minded and awake to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I felt like a real connection in the conversation, where I was able to understand, you know, where you're going in terms of your thought process. I am not a psychic by any means. But, you know, I felt that connection, you know, where I could see your clock sticking, like, you know, your mechanical gears grinding.
Yeah.
And that's a very rare thing that happens with me, because people like to pretend a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was very nice talking to you. And guys, Devin is very active on Instagram. And if you are from the country of freedom, she's also active on TikTok. And the both of the links will be in the description. And Devin, plug yourself, you know, like, let people know where they can find you and, you know, talk to you.
Yeah, I would love to connect with you guys on Instagram and TikTok and talk more about organic farming, evidential psychic mediumship, or healing on the quantum levels, whatever's on your heart.
Yes. So with that, guys, this is the end of the episode, and thank you so much for listening to us. I hope you take away somewhat of a knowledge, and it helps you in leading a better life and questioning things around you. And until the next episode, take care and thank you.